Join the conversation. And now, Evening Talk.
On the app, online, on DSTV channel 885, and across the Cape on 567 AM.
Good evening to you. Welcome to Evening Talk. My name is Abongile Nzelandzele. Talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Do you know what the fourth industrial revolution is? Do you know how it could affect South Africa? Well, we also trying to find out those answers, but certainly according to Ryan Crawford, IT manager at Bridgestone South Africa, he says that the fourth industrial revolution is expected to affect many manufacturing jobs negatively because we're expected to see robots, artificial intelligence becoming mainstream, which will inevitably further the reduce manufacturing potential to provide large numbers of jobs but it's not all doom and gloom. This is according to Ryan. Ryan, a very good evening to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Good evening, Abs, and good evening to your listeners.
Let's talk about the fourth industrial revolution. I think for many people will be sitting and saying, what are you talking about? What is the fourth industrial revolution?
Well, you know, it's interesting as we talk about Black Friday tomorrow. I think technology has become such a big part of our lives. I think we're all connected to the internet. We're permanently connected to our phones. And what we're seeing is we see Wi-Fi in our homes. And it's also true of organizations and manufacturing business. So the fourth industrial revolution is a global phenomenon whereby we are now seeing the ability for multiple devices to share information. So it's a new level of automation, an automation that we haven't seen before, but it does provide with it a great sense of opportunity. And I think that's at the crux of the message that we've come to see at Bridgestone, is that yes, it does represent a risk for those who are not willing to change, but certainly an opportunity if we embrace this new phenomenon.
Let's talk about the fears, first of all, because let's talk about the doom side of it, in that, you know, people will fear that, you know what, technology is taking over everything. And so manufacturing jobs are vital to the economy. With less of these jobs, how will the economy survive then?
Well, that's a very good point. I think we have to be cognizant that certainly in the manufacturing sector is on the decline. We're very positive in the automotive industry, being lots of new investment. But we have to recognize that manufacturing is under threat and the economy is in recession. So certainly one would then relate robotics automation to further job losses. And that is certainly true unless we as the private sector, together with the public sector, work together to actually change the way we work. So at Bridgestone South Africa, we've done a couple of experiments to actually say, what can we do to reskill and teach our workforce a new set of skills and competencies so they can adjust the work they do? So when the robots come, the robots can certainly do those tasks and activities that are repetitive and non-value-adding, but we can repurpose our workforce to jobs which, relatively speaking, are actually at a higher and more skilled level.
And so if we're talking about those that are skilled, then what happens then to those individuals then that are not looking or that have not been upskilled? I suppose the answer is simple to that, that if you don't get skilled, you get left behind. But we talk of industries then coming to the fore and helping their workers then, I suppose, to get skilled. Is this happening?
It's not happening probably fast enough, Abs. I think it's something we need to take recognition of, and we need to do a better job. I think business and organizations need to be better prepared and start gearing themselves up to address this issue. I think we also mustn't refer to all of our workers as unskilled. I think it's a different type of skill. We've seen it in the past as we've automated production, manufacturing. The people that would be typically executing the tasks now become the people who are troubleshooting, the people who are maintaining the equipment, maintaining the robots. But you're 100% correct. We need to actually ensure that business, together with government, puts in the necessary measures and policies to actually drive this change in behavior.
To you listening at home, by the way, are you in the manufacturing sector? Have you seen some of the changes that have been brought about by the fourth industrial revolution? Would love to hear from you. What are some of the things that you as a company or you in your company are doing to ensure that you stay ahead of this fourth industrial revolution? 021-446-0567. Join the conversation. Ryan, bringing it back to you though, I'm getting the sense, two senses that I'm getting from this conversation that I'm having with you is that it is first of all inevitable that some jobs will become obsolete or redundant.
I think that's correct, and I think you used the right term, the apps, to say some jobs or some roles will certainly become obsolete.
The second observation that I'm getting from you is that the fourth industrial revolution is coming, but instead of looking at it in terms of a doom, let's look at it in terms of gloom of how we can better work with the technology. So perhaps then, speaking along those lines, you have alluded to it, I think earlier on, talking to the fact that now people will be fixing the machinery that's doing the products. Are there any other examples that we have that, you know, if we embrace this concept, we can actually work hand in hand and maybe have a better future?
Certainly, yes. So at Bridgetown South Africa, we've also launched a couple of initiatives in terms of our training program, where not only are we allowing our workforce to learn how to maintain, commission, or set up new equipment in our plants, automation, but we must remember they possess an emotive and empathetic ability too. They're not only problem solve, but they're logical. And so we use them to actually do a lot of problem solving and continuous improvement. So where automation might come into manufacturing and make you do the same thing faster, we're looking to our workforce to say, well, tell us how we can do things better. And that talks about changing the way we work.
And, you know, from what you're saying also, there's a whole lot of discussions that must be had then between the companies and their employees.
Yes, I think the employees, when they hear about this thing called the fourth industrial revolution and Internet of Things and artificial intelligence, and they're coming out of a system that has taught them just to do, you know, task type of work, I think they get quite anxious, to be honest. So I think there's a duty there for organizations to educate and upskill their workforce as to what it really means. It's important to remain competitive in the global space. But then at the same time, present them with the opportunities and I think the space and the opportunity to learn. It's certainly not a quick thing, but you must remember that this revolution is also not a quick thing. We do have time to gear ourselves up and to change the way we work.
If you're just joining us at home, by the way, we are chatting to Ryan Crawford, IT manager at Bridgestone South Africa. We're talking about the fourth industrial revolution that is expected to affect the manufacturing industry and the jobs negatively because we are expected to see robotics, artificial intelligence becoming mainstream, which will then inevitably further reduce manufacturing's potential to provide large numbers of jobs. But he says it's not all doom and gloom. Maybe if we embrace this coming fourth industrial revolution, we can actually have a better future together. Maybe you at home have an understanding of what is happening. Would love to hear from you. Certainly an SMS coming in from one of our listeners, Ansel Adams. He says, Ryan, that the fourth industrial revolution the big shift is basically the computerization in the manufacturing process. It will convert primary supply chains into demand-driven supply networks or ecosystems through big data management. Decentralized technologies like blockchain will drive this economy where middlemen like banks will become obsolete and as transactions will now be peer-to-peer. It introduces a great opportunity to develop a market-driven approach to poverty alleviation. Regards, Ansel Adams. I like that point there, Ryan, where it says it introduces a great opportunity to develop a market-driven approach to poverty alleviation. So there's a possibility that this could work for against poverty.
Certainly, yes. And I think that SMS has a lot of big terms in it. And we must recognize, especially in the manufacturing space, you know, a large proportion of our workforce, the people who are adding the value, doing the work, they've perhaps never heard of a lot of those terms. I don't think many of us have before. And that's where I think some of the worry can come in terms of what is the future. But we must remember that we've got the workforce that we have is very hardworking, very eager to learn. Certainly, We will need specialists and people to help guide us on this journey. But there is a place for our workforce in this new era. Plus, to the SMS's point, not only does it is an opportunity to upskill our current workforce, but we can certainly help start turning around the unemployment rate. We can certainly help doing something about the high levels of poverty that we see.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, whenever we talk about artificial intelligence, you talk about robotics and all of those things, I often see this matrix, you know, happening. And of course, yes. we can't expect it to be, what's this, the Terminator movie, Skynet, I think that's the one out there. But most definitely for many of us as South Africans, whenever we talk about artificial intelligence or IT or whatever, security becomes a bit of an issue. So is the sector, as much as the fourth industrial revolution is coming, is the sector geared up to protect itself against those who would be willing to commit crimes against it?
I think we're getting there, Abs. I think cybersecurity is something that we're seeing in the industry quite seriously. I know that we've taken a number of measures at Bridgestone in terms of making sure that our data is secure. We do have customer data and product data, which we need to keep secure. And 100%, as soon as we start connecting and Internet of Things and start sharing more and more data, it's going to be as important for us to control and protect that data. We know of things like protection of information and the POPI Act. So that's also going to be a challenge for organizations, is to embrace the opportunity of sharing data, but at the same time, you cannot compromise security and you cannot compromise protecting people's information.
All right. And on that note, Ryan, I mean, we're bringing the interview to a conclusion, but I do want to give you a moment perhaps to have your parting words to the listeners.
I think I know we started the interview by, you know, especially in the context of where South Africa is in the manufacturing industry, this revolution could be seen as a threat. But I think if we're encouraged by good leadership, I think if the public and private sectors can work together better, we can really turn this into an opportunity. It's a new way of working. It means we have to unlearn the way we've worked before and embrace a new way of working, which won't be easy. But we need to do it. We have to be competitive. And the good side of it is, if we get it right, we can certainly start helping things like our poor unemployment rate and start really helping the economy.
And if I did hear you right earlier on, you were talking to the fact that you as Bridgestone have already started working with your employees to work on those unskilled to be skilled.
That's right. And I think a very key part of our program is actually allowing people to feel comfortable to unlearn, to recognize that the way that they used to do things is changing. And the fact to be, you know, open yourselves up to learn something new and not to feel vulnerable. That you have a place, that you're a valued worker in Bridgestone, and that we're there to support you on this journey.
I wonder, sorry, Ryan, I know I said I was going to let you go, but you just mentioned something very interesting now, where the employee has to learn to unlearn. That must be quite difficult, because I can just see these old men and women sitting there telling these young kids that you can't teach me anything new. This, I've been doing this for a million years. I can already see it right now.
That's right. That's right. I mean, let's be honest. You know, when you get to a certain age, thought of learning something new scares you. And now we're asking those same workers who have been doing the same job for many years to unlearn. And what does that mean? It's effectively to let go what a system has basically, you know, taught them from day one, because only then does it make sense to understand the new way of working. And it's one of the big things in terms of helping people manage the change. It's not easy to do, but very effective. It certainly is the way to go if we're actually going to make this work.
I hear you loud and clear, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. A very good evening to you further.
Thank you very much. On your pleasure.
Thank you so much. Ryan Crawford, Johannesburg, all the way from Johannesburg, an IT manager at Bridgestone South Africa. I must say, the whole conversation was fascinating, talking about the fourth industrial revolution. But he did catch me with that last statement of learning to unlearn. It can be quite difficult. I know it sounds simple. It is very scary and very difficult to unlearn what you've known, what you've been priding yourself as a skill that you have. And all of a sudden, you have this younger generation that's coming to you, that's telling you that you will not be doing things the way you've been doing them now. Things are going to be changing. I cannot imagine what that must feel like. Maybe you've gone through a process like that. We'd love to hear from you.